Grace to you and peace from the one who created all things. Amen. While walking through a parking lot a few years ago, it's actually a couple of years ago, one of my favorite things to do is to look at bumper stickers at cars. It tells you a lot about people. And so as I walked through the parking lot, I saw the usual stickers that you see all the time, you know, keep the country country, some of my more favorite ones, you know, envision world peace, which is one of my favorites, and then of course the ubiquitous one that tells us about their favorite chiropractor. I like those. And then, of course, those that tout the incredible intelligence of the grandchild, who, in case you didn't know, is once again on the honor roll of his or her most excellent learning establishment. But as I walked along, there was a different kind of picture. Plastered over the back of the tailgate of a pickup were dozens and dozens of stickers. On the left side, ironically, were several impeach Obama. Obama is an illegal alien, and dump the president stickers. I thought it was funny that it was on the left side of the car. And then mixed in among the rest of the stickers on the back of the car were some that were in a little bit less in the free speech variety. One depicted machine guns crossed with "Protect Our Country" written on it. And another read, "I cling to my religion and my guns." And another read, "Nuke Iraq," with a little mushroom cloud in the corner. Smack dab in the middle of all of those bumper stickers was one which in bold red letters on a white background proclaimed John 3:16. Well, in a way, that car, that pickup, is an excellent image of our world today. An excellent picture of the place where we find ourselves these days. We live in a culture where force is becoming more and more the default solution for everything from personal conflicts and arguments to international negotiations. We've seen it specifically recently within our own country and in the world as our Congress and our politicians continue to wrangle back and forth about what to do with various and sundry issues internationally. One of the wonderful gifts of being a little bit older is that I actually remember a time when political parties on either side of the aisle actually had meetings to try and figure out how to compromise and negotiate solutions. I remember those days. Nowadays, force seems to be the menu item for most of our political and personal world. One House of Congress passes legislation designed to simply force the other side to do something they don't want to do. Pieces of legislation have always happened. You always have these little bombs that are put into legislation that if you pass one piece of legislation, you pass something you really don't want to pass. But over and over and over again, it is a constant sense of trying to force others into your way of thinking. Companies force other companies into bankruptcy in order to increase their own market share. Young girls are kidnapped and sold into slavery for the sake of a movement. Force is increasingly the language of relationships, both big and small. You all remember the old saying, might makes right. Still, despite all of those stickers on the back of that pickup touting violence and force, I really think that the one that said John 3:16 may be the most offensive of all. David Lohse again, and I just love David Lohse, the things that he has to say. He reminded us that John 3:16, if you really understand John 3:16, it is way more than just a slogan for Christians. Martin Luther once said that it was sort of the gospel in a nutshell. And it is. But it's not a sanguine little saying that we can pull out whenever we want to. Well, I found the sticker on the back of that pickup particularly offensive because it seemed to suggest that somehow that little bit of scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life, that somehow God is complicit in this person's vision of the world. That somehow God is complicit in the idea that force is the way we will bring God's kingdom, God's vision, into being. That's a scary thought. And yet time and time again, this growing tendency among Christians to see no matter what we do or how we act, it is in fact the will of God. That somehow we confuse our agenda with God's agenda. And if we just put a sticker on it that says John 3:16, well, that will be proof enough. But look at John 3:16. It's offensive on any number of levels, if for no other reason than it's part of the story of Nicodemus. Forget that. This man comes to see Jesus at night because he's afraid of those who are around him. He comes to see Jesus at night and he asks him, you know, what do I need to do? And having heard Jesus' incredible wisdom, he goes back into the darkness. It's just too much. Lance Poppy says, this is a story about how any one of us might reject the light offered to us because of the way it exposes the darkness in ourselves. And that's why John 3:16 is so offensive. God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son to die that we might not perish but have eternal life. And then that gets followed up with this incredible language about those who live in and through the light somehow are part of the light. And so I wonder, in this world where force has become the language of negotiation, is that light? Was it light when Christians went into the Congo the first time and sometimes killed people for not conforming to our faith? Is it light whenever we force our faith on anyone? Or have another faith forced on us? You see, John 3:16 is so important because of Nicodemus, who comes in darkness and hopes to find out about God, but ends up leaving in darkness because he simply cannot apprehend what Jesus is saying. Maybe that's what we in the world are experiencing as well. And like Nicodemus, we cannot accept that God has chosen vulnerability over force and weakness over power to transform the world. And even though the witness of our own eyes tell us time and time again about how force is not always the best way to go, we cling to it as the gospel. Perhaps we, like Nicodemus, can't fully apprehend that in that little scripture of John 3:16, we are exposed to God in a way that can deeply change us and the world. John 3:16 is not a magic talisman or a bumper sticker or a bronze serpent to raise up whenever we're feeling a little jiggly about our faith. Rather, it is a call for us to trust in God in a way that is terribly foreign to in our world of instant knowledge and readily accessible authoritative information. It calls us to do some things that we're trained not to do. The thing about force that's so wonderful is it triggers in every one of us the most basic instinct of fight or flight. Think for a minute about where you are. When you're confronted with force, what is your natural reaction? Go ahead, Georgine. Do you fight or flight? I fight. Yeah. Anybody else? Do you fight or flight? You leave. Yes. Slowly with your walking stick. I'm getting out of here. Yeah. Well, I fight. And I fight vehemently. It's very sad. But I grew up in a household of all boys. And we were rather kind of, well, we weren't nice. And I never knew which of my brothers might be waiting around the corner with a 2x4 to whack me on the head. So we develop this tendency to fight or flight, but God calls us to something deeper. Imagine if there were other choices. I think John 3:16 calls us first to trust. God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son to die. Can we trust that that word is true? Can we trust that that word is true for us and that it matters? I think the second thing that it calls us to is vulnerability, which is not something we do much of these days. We wrap ourselves so tightly to protect ourselves against hurt. I read an article recently said that we may be the most lonely generation in history because we keep ourselves isolated behind our computers and our garage doors. And if somebody disagrees with us or makes us feel bad or hurts our feelings, what do? We unfriend them. Can you imagine going up to someone in their face and say, "I unfriend you. Back at you, Jack." Vulnerability means that I have to enter into relationship with you and look in your eyes and expose myself to hurt in the way that God exposed God's self to hurt in the cross. I think it calls us to a kind of humility to which we are not generally attracted. Humility means to allow the other to be right, to be more than ourselves. The people of Israel crossing the desert were just sick and tired of the crummy food and no water, and they just had had enough. And in this really horrible story, God reminds them who is God? And it ain't you. So a little humility, or a lot of humility, is part of what John 3:16 calls each of us to. Courage. Seems the opposite, doesn't it? But imagine having the courage to love. Having the courage to let the other not only be right, but to be made right. Somehow, in understanding what God does on that cross that day, John 3:16 begins to put the lie to the culture of force that says that my way is the only way and that right is only the right that I proclaim. It puts a lie to the bumper stickers that try to draw us into a culture of colonialism and force. This self-sacrificing love of God offers a frightened world an alternative vision. One in which the kingdom comes into being not through war or force, but through gentle, persistent, gentle love. The courage of people willing to expose themselves to one another, to expose themselves to possible pain or joy, and to trust that when God raises up the cross and we gaze at it, that we too will be healed. And I want to leave you with that image. As the people walked across the desert and the serpents began to bite at their feet and their knees, God had Moses raise up the Ebenezer. And it occurred to me in that moment that that's what God calls us to do. Because in order to gaze at the bronze serpent on the pole, they had to quit looking at their feet. They had to quit looking at where they were going. They had to quit looking at where they placed their feet to not step on the serpents. They just had to trust. And so do we. For God so loved the world that God poured God's self out in grace for you and for all. Amen.